Peter, a recent guest of ours, Lori Richmond, was kind enough to send us three pieces of her art that she has drawn on her run.
They're gorgeous. They're unrelentingly beautiful. I didn't want to touch them for fear that I would ruin them.
Well, you know how you can prevent that from happening?
Hopefully, there's a place I can go where I could put them behind glass.
Yes, and they will be protected forever.
And even me, Fumbles McGillicuddy, can't ruin them.
You could ruin them on the trip between our studio and the Art of Framing in Middleton, Massachusetts, where we have to take them to be preserved forever and artfully framed so that we can hang them on the wall and cherish them.
Do you think because we are How Is Your Run Today, they'll give us the discount?
I believe anyone who goes into that store and has heard this advertisement and goes to the Art of Framing in Middleton, Massachusetts, and mentions this podcast will receive a 20% discount, even us, the hosts.
Even if it's a sketch of an Instant Pot that I've done that's crude and immature.
These are professionals, Peter. They'll frame anything with a smile on their face.
How do I learn more about them, Brian?
You go on the internet, www.bostonartofframing.com. That's bostonartofframing.com.
You said WWW like it was 1998 again.
I live in the past.
I know you do.
Now to the future, go.
Brian, I want to be the first one to tell you that you still have a cold. I can hear it in your chest. I can see it in your face. Are you okay?
Yeah. I don't know what to do about it. It's just, at this point, annoying.
This could be just the new you.
I hope not.
But didn't you have a terrific run over the weekend?
I did. I ran to, well, I didn't run to the head of the Charles. I parked and I ran to the head of the Charles, which is the big international rowing race that's done in our little town here. And boy, was it cool. And I came with a couple of high school rowers. My daughter was one of them. And so they were excited. So I got excited for it. 20 plus years I've lived in the Boston area. First time there. What a dunce am I?
That's like me with the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah, that's right.
How long did you live in New York? So look at us, though. We're each doing firsts.
Yeah. And it was a gorgeous day. So, right, I dropped them off, and then I parked a little ways away, and then I ran several miles, and I sort of jogged through the crowds and stopped to take some photos, got a bunch of miles in, and then conveniently, the Harvard Stadium's right there. So I grabbed a full tour, because that's what you do. And then I jogged back, and you know what they have at the head of the Charles? In addition to lots and lots of boats being rowed very quickly down the beautiful Charles River.
Funnel cake?
And all that.
Like, can I get an apple cider donut there?
Yeah.
Can I get, do they have cider? Actual drinkable cider?
Drinkable cider, lobster rolls, hamburglers.
Did you do all that accent?
Sausages.
Did you take care of it?
Cookies. Yeah.
Did you strap on the feed
bag? I strapped on the feed bag.
Strap on your feed bag. Come and get it.
Come and get it. I like that.
Yeah, it was good.
I like that plenty.
I just want to add one thing to that.
No.
It was a run that felt good.
Yeah. Okay. There we go.
So that's what I want to tell you.
That's something.
You know, the MDI half marathon was sort of, it wasn't a gutted out, but it was a run that was slow paced and I just kept at that pace and did it. This one was a run where I felt, yeah, I'm eager to do it. I did it. It felt good. I could have kept going, but I didn't. And I'm feeling stronger. I'm feeling like it's fun again.
That's nice. I love that. Is it possible you don't have a cold? Is it possible you have seasonal allergies?
I suppose, but no. I mean, this has been either a progression or long simmering cold. I don't know what to do about it. It's annoying. I've tried all the regular stuff. My cough is less every day. I don't know. What are you going to do?
Well, I would say take a Claritin every day until you're dead.
Okay, I do.
Take two.
I do.
You can't take two.
I do, actually.
And a Zyrtec.
Under my doctor's orders, I take two Zyrtec every day.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Two full Zyrtec.
Okay, yes, for about the last 5 years.
That's for like a rhino.
And it's almost completely eliminated all allergic reactions to everything. This is not an allergy.
All right, let's take
But this is under doctor's advisement. I wouldn't go out and do this on my own.
Because you're not a medical doctor.
Not even close.
Well, then it's probably ill-advised, Brian, but can we step into the medical tent?
Sure.
I need a run. 10 cc's of running. Stat.
Oh, Brian, Peter, how can I help
you? Hi. I've called you here because I did go, like a big boy, I went and saw Jillian to get the full look at about where my pain is coming from.
I think you're slowly becoming an adult, Peter.
Not easy to do.
To admit defeat.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
I like my childish ways.
This will just work itself out.
I'll just rub
like
dirt
Brian's
on it.
Like Brian's cold. It'll just get better.
Yeah. Oh, and then we never saw Brian again. Yeah. So what I thought was hamstring, and it presents like hamstring, you know what it really is?
Well, if it's anything like me, it's your butt.
Weak glute, baby, on the left side.
Yes, sir.
And that's triggering an issue with the hamstring, but that's not the source of the problem.
So familiar sounding.
So it was a great visit. Great to catch up with her. She says hi.
Hi, Jillian.
She gave me a bunch of floor exercises to do, and so far it's making a difference. And I went for an unbelievable 10 over the weekend. Like you were saying, the weather was... I mean, beyond perfection.
It's a treat to be out there.
It's ridiculous, and we're going to get slammed. I can feel it. We're going to pay for it one way or another.
Well, we always do, and then we come around the other side.
We come around again, and we say, oh my God, it's gorgeous. But yeah, it was phenomenal. 10's long, Brian. I haven't done 10 for months and months and months. That was crazy.
Try 13.1.
It's coming. I'll get there. I'm on my schedule, baby.
I know.
And then today was a nice sweet 5. Just take the edge off after 2 full days off because I had to do my toy show. Wait, if you're gonna go to the toy chest, and I'm not saying don't, yeah. I'm saying we have to leave the medical tent. We can't open. It's
we
not.
Can't?
No, when you open.
But I have it right here. I brought the toy chest on a little red wagon into the medical tent.
If you open the toy chest in the medical tent, you get a whole other batch of toys.
Let's do it.
All right, let's try it. So good. The thing I love about that toy chest sting is it was so much better than my 2-day toy show because my 2-day toy show was not good.
Aww,
no, it was okay. Let me put it this way.
Were the costumes not good?
Yeah, costumes. No, costumes were good.
Were the wrestling celebrities not stellar?
Mr. McFoley was there. You know, he's great. No, on paper, it all worked out.
I don't know what that means.
It means that you're trying to please many masters with these events.
Mm-hmm.
The showrunner director has to make a certain amount of money because the venue costs money, getting the celebrities there costs money, insurance on the building costs money.
Well, I mean, you're paying for your table, right? That's how this works? That's how they make their money?
No, they make their money 2 different ways. They make their money selling space to vendors and money at the door. Now, this is a bone of contention with many vendors about how shows are being run now, which is it used to be that if you were a showrunner, you really tried to make the price affordable to get in the door. Because what you knew was people are going to come in, they're going to spend money on autographs, and that's a huge moneymaker now for the celebrities. That's why they're there, you know?
The celebrities are there to make some money.
That's right.
With their autographs.
And then you have vendors and artists there to fill the space and to make it an enjoyable day for everybody. But the problem is if you charge an exorbitant door fee.
Yes.
And you charge a very hefty fee for an autograph that you've waited in line to do to meet Tom Berenger or whoever.
You're not going to buy collectibles.
No.
Because you don't have any money left.
You have no money left. And what you are going to do is because you're there, you're going to walk around and you're going to look. And you're going to talk to vendors, and then you're going to walk away dressed like Optimus Prime and not spend any money.
Or Smurfette.
Yeah, any of them. Luke Skywalker, whoever. But you're not really dropping any coin at any vendor, really.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Sure. Did I see a SpongeBob? I did not. I might have seen a Patrick.
What's that?
He's just a friend, a starfish friend.
Okay.
Anyway, So while it was an enjoyable time, because I always enjoy going and seeing all the people and having a good time with friends and whatnot, I'm not quitting the day job. So long story short, Brian, there will be episode 103 after this one.
Oh, you mean you didn't make your retirement bank on this toy show?
That's actually a joke that we talk about. Vendors say, you know, don't come here expecting a mortgage payment. Do it for the love of the game, baby. Don't do it for any other reason.
Just make enough money to buy more toys to come back next year. Is that pretty much how it goes?
I will say that there were several vendors from out of state, and they did not make their booth fee. They just sat there and it looked rough for them. And when you spend 3 days, because you had to travel there to Friday, set up Friday night, open for business Saturday, Sunday, you've lost 3 days of your life in a beautiful fall weekend, and it makes you stop and reassess a few things. Long story short, though, I did fist bump Major Don West, actor Mark Goddard, from the famous CBS TV show Lost in Space.
Did I tell you I went to the head of the Charles?
Yeah, okay. There's, if
international do you boat need, race
do you need to go back through 101 shows worth of how you're leading a way more interesting life than I am? Because it's well documented, man.
I don't think that's true at all.
Okay.
I know zero celebrities.
All right.
Minor celebrities.
Well, I don't know him. I just fist bumped him as he walked by on his way to the bathroom.
I didn't do that.
No, you didn't. But you probably ate like an apple cider donut with a sausage in it. And that's awesome.
That is awesome.
So
you should have sold those at the toy show. Peter, I'm closing the toy chest and escaping from the middle of the tent. What do you think?
I forgot we're still in, it's like a Pandora's box in here.
Let's go. Peter, you may recall on episode 101, the artwork in which your face was masterfully masking taped over a set of abs that were impressive.
I have a life-size poster on my wall, thanks to the art of framing in Middleton, Massachusetts.
Well, I got a chance to talk to the guy behind the abs, Mr. Grady Jackson, who came in third in the MDI marathon and does some impressive events, I have to say. He's sort of a master of these really long, grueling Spartan obstacle course races. Do you want to hear a few minutes of us talking about the MDI marathon and then what he does in his free time?
I do, as long as I can wear a picture of his face over mine while I listen.
Yeah, here's the mask right here.
Thank you very much.
Grady Jackson, congratulations on your podium finish at the Mount Desert Island Marathon this past weekend. You've run this marathon a couple of times, three times. What keeps you coming back to this particular race?
The race itself is just beautiful. The island is majestical. What I really like about MDI, Acadia, Bar Harbor, the entire area is the entire scene, from surfing to rock climbing to the culture of the town itself. I feel like that part of Maine is really untouched and holds a really special place in my heart. And I'm originally from Florida. And when I first moved up here, that's one of the first places I went rock climbing. And ever since then, I've always been eager to return, and to have a chance to run a marathon on the island is just a special day within itself.
While you're up there for a marathon, I know a lot of people, myself included, sort of take it really easy, especially beforehand, but it's hard because there's so much great hiking and just going down by the ocean. It's a place where you want to spend all your time outside. Did you take it easy, or did you take advantage of the island while you were there?
Well, Saturday morning, I raced up from Boston, so it's like a 5-hour drive, and I got there around 11 o'clock, and I'm pretty dialed in to where all the secret spots are, so I immediately went up to Beach Mountain and went over to Cadillac and tried to get at least like 3K of vert in that morning, and then had a nice little lunch, and then headed down to Great Head, which is a really popular, sort of popular climbing spot, and did some bouldering along the coast myself, and then went to the backside of beach to look at some new boulders, but unfortunately things have been cracking and breaking up there recently, so I didn't really get a chance to climb there per se, but yeah, didn't really take it easy the day before. Had some wine, partied the night of the night before the marathon with some new friends. Yeah, never taking it too easy, just everything's training, everything's part of the process, and yeah.
So I actually also climbed Beach Mountain the
morning before, and then I laid down and did nothing for about 12 hours. So we have a different approach. How was your race?
Well, the race was good until about mile 17. All the regular faces were at the starting line. I recognized Matt Amich, a guy that lives in Portland, Maine, super fast. And then the legendary David Herr, if I'm saying his last name correctly, I apologize. He's kind of like a legend in the ultra distance marathon scene in New England. And so all these guys are there. Leah Frost, who usually wins the race each time for the women. So yeah, the race went well in the beginning. The humidity was kind of high, but the weather was probably 57, 60 degrees. So I thought it was going to be a wicked fast race. But all of a sudden at mile four, where David and Matt should have been way ahead of me, clocking down probably 5:45 pace, they were right with me. And I'm like, what's going on, guys? And Matt's like, oh, I'm just taking it easy. I'm not in good shape. And David didn't really say anything because he doesn't really talk. and then all of a sudden I find myself running alone at a slower pace than most. The two other previous races I raced at MDI, and those guys are nowhere to be found. Later on in the race, I figured out that Matt had dropped out at mile 11, which I thought was super strange, even though he should have finished probably 10 minutes ahead of me. Same thing with David. He was like probably 5 minutes ahead behind me at the end of the race. And Leah, too, finished 10 minutes slower than her previous time last year, which is super weird. I don't know what happened out there. Maybe a super high gravity day. Maybe everyone's just overtrained or I don't know. So it was a really fun race. I went out at like 1:22 and came back at a really slow 1:30 pace and just kind of fell off. Not too proud about it, but just looking forward for the next race.
Well, you look good. That's what really was important.
Yeah, I had a nice little like handkerchief around my neck, looking stylish with my like wristbands and my cool little watch and my white skin fit pants. It looked like tidy whities and no one really knows what's going on with my outfit. But yeah, if you're not looking stylish out there, I don't know why you'd be out there. So make sure you dress to impress people.
Now, you came in third in this race, but you've had quite a few races recently. You were telling me that you're a Spartan runner. Can you tell me a little more about the race you've done most recently?
Sure. So this is the end of the season for Spartan Racings. Two weekends before the MDI Marathon was Spartan World Championships, and this is the third year in a row they've had it in Tahoe. And so I raced World Championships with, I guess you would call them, the best of the best on Saturday in Tahoe. The course itself was probably 16 and a half miles long, 4,500 feet of gain, and 30 obstacles. You race up and down Squaw Valley. Didn't place as high as I wanted to. I'm not the best uphill runner, kind of a heavier of a person. So I got 30th, I believe, on Saturday. And then I do a little bit better on the longer distance races. So I did the Ultra Beast, which is the same course, but just two laps on Sunday. I got fourth. So Pretty good turnout. Maybe that fatigued helped me back in the marathon. But once again, it's all part of the process. Just training through it and looking long term, staying healthy and racing a long time.
Astonishing. I would not be healthy if I had your schedule. What is your favorite part of training, and what do you not look forward to when you're training for these endurance events?
My favorite part right now recently has been seeing how far I can go without nutrition. That's one thing I've struggled with in the past. So when you race this like over 4 to 5, 6 hours, if you don't have your nutrition plan dialed and you're not going towards the fat adapted stage, you're going to really suffer, and your running economy and your efficiency is going to really fall apart towards the end of the race. So recently I've been heading up to the whites a lot, and on these like 3 hour efforts, try to go zero calories, and that's starting to pay off, but becoming fat adapted is a slow process, and I probably eat too many carbs day to day. Favorite part of training probably is that I don't have a schedule. I don't have a coach. I don't have anyone holding me responsible for getting certain results. So I can just do whatever the fuck I want. I kind of like that. And I kind of make it up as I go, joking with the term called biohack, but basically doing random stuff and trying to see if I can get results from doing something that's non-related, sort of like cross training, taking cold showers, just rock climbing a lot. I don't know.
Doing whatever comes to you. Do you wake up and figure it out, or do you set out at least a week or a couple of days in advance? How do you do it?
No schedule. Don't plan more than a day ahead. And I'm always just down to throw down, race whenever, and just try as hard as I can during each workout. The biggest thing, honestly, is just getting lots of rest. I don't necessarily take days off, but I also don't consider what I do training per se. just living the life you want to live?
Exactly, living the life I want to live. I'm 30 years old. I have no kids, no responsibilities, have a nice little construction job, working Davis Square, have a shit ton of free time, and just make the best of every situation.
Fantastic. Last question. What's the next race or event coming up?
My first stadium Spartan race. It's at Fenway, November 4th and 5th. I will be racing the elite category both days. I need to get top three both days, if not win both days, but I don't necessarily do better on the shorter distance races, and I know some fast guys are going to be showing up. If you miss a spear throw, you have to do 30 burpees, and that can take you from first to 10th place within 30 seconds. So you got to be on point for that race, and I'm really looking forward to that race. So
awesome. Good luck. Good luck training for the rest of the winter. Take it easy. Or don't.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian, I wasn't there for that recording, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't have weak glutes. Is that true? I've only seen the front, so I don't know.
Well, I have seen the back only because he passes me regularly on these hill repeats.
Yes.
All I ever see him is passing me. No, nice guy, as you can tell. He's, you know, he's living the lifestyle that he wants to do. And so that's, I guess, what you have to do to be really good at something is like live the life. I don't know, Peter. I kind of feel like I'm half-assing it a little bit. Kind of feel like maybe I'm not in it all the way. But he did say he was 30 years old, no kids, no responsibilities.
Yeah, he's pretty upfront about that. So that goes a long way.
Also, no nutrition.
Yeah, I'm not cotton to that.
Yeah, I don't know what that is all about.
I was actually eating jerky while listening to the interview. I have to keep my calories constantly coming in.
3 hours, no nutrition.
I mean, you can do it, but wouldn't you get a headache?
I guess, well, you know, he used this term, the fat adapted diet or athlete. So this is the idea that you adapt your body to trigger to start burning fat more quickly than normal, right? Or more quickly than most athletes, especially endurance athletes, where we go along and, you know, we follow the instructions on the packet. We take nutrition every 45 minutes or every hour or every 5 miles, whatever it is that works for you, and it keeps you from bonking. And I mean, the science is pretty clear on that one. But these endurance athletes that are going for this fat adapted state, it's a different thing. You're trying to get beyond that, beyond needing that quick carb and sugar hit, so that your body is pretty quickly using fat as its fuel source as opposed to carbs. I'm not going to reach that state, Peter, ever. I'll tell you that right now.
I was going to say that I have a lot to adapt. So I
you could go a long way.
I could probably, if I
mean, learned, that's not an insult, actually. You may have an advantage for certain long distance events.
Yeah, I think I'm built for that.
Light Army.
It's fine. I know it's true. It's fine.
I don't know. Do you think maybe? Peter, would you ever attempt one of these obstacle course races?
That's just a twisted ankle.
That's what my concern is. It looks like fun on the surface,
I'm sure
maybe,
it is.
But
I know a good friend of the show, Pam Rickard, loves it.
Right.
And I hope we see her for this year's version of it. Is she coming up?
I believe she's racing that Fenway one again, but I'm worried about hurting a shoulder, twisting an ankle.
Any of the above. I don't know what the training is like for that. I'm not saying I wouldn't ever try one.
Well, if you listen to Grady, you have to do a lot of bouldering and running while hungry.
Yeah, I'm going to say I like to eat.
Or you just wake up and do whatever comes to you that day, I guess, apparently, if that's how he's doing it.
I believe he was actually rattling bones in a wooden cup and throwing them on a table and then deciding what his vocation was for the day. But
hey, he's more power races.
Dude, he was also doing his laundry on his abs. So we're good.
Success.
Success.
Peter, I know a lot of folks who are friends of the show and who write into Sat Stat Chat have done a lot of races. This is race season.
This is definitely race season.
Can I just give two shout outs? Friends of the show who have been on as guests.
I would be disappointed if you didn't.
Mr. Paul Davies, who's now 3 decades going, has run sub 3 hour marathons.
Phenomenal.
In his 30s, 40s, and 50s. I mean, wow.
We have to make sure he can come on again. He needs to update us on all things because he's an amazing force of nature.
He sure is. And he also has some history of the BAA that he needs to hip us to a little bit. Also, Mr. Greg Shea ran a very fast marathon recently.
He did up there at the Bay State.
Which I think we can take all the credit for since we got him back into marathon running.
Right. He wasn't going to do that. And then he was like, your show is so funny. I'm going to do it. Ah, run fast.
That was a great imitation.
Yeah, that was a good imitation, Brian, but also hard to imitate his talent. He's very, as we know from our episode with him, he is an accomplished and award-winning filmmaker and video maker and producer. And you should check him out because now he's got this crazy YouTube page called Running With Cameras.
That I couldn't stop watching.
Exactly. And they're all very interesting, engaging videos about running. And his camera work is phenomenal. And his locations are excellent. And he's just a lot of fun. So I urge everyone, go subscribe right now. YouTube, Running With Cameras.
Yeah, you got to watch the video on the Presidential Traverse. This is the one we were talking about with Jonathan Ronzio.
Yeah.
And it's called Presidential Traverse, 10 Peaks, One Day.
Boom, there it is.
Nice.
So check it out. Brian, I am not an accomplished filmmaker this time.
You've made films?
I have, but more than that.
You worked on Coneheads the movie?
I don't want to bring up the past.
Okay.
I want to look to the future, my friend.
Let's.
Hey. This has been episode 102 of How Is Your Run Today with Brian Gould and Peter Villa. Music by Jeff Cronenberg. Social media guru is Anna Brooks. Andrea Bonnie Gould is our artist in residence.
Thank you to The Art of Framing, bostonartofframing.com. Join us every Saturday on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram with your SatStat chats. Oh, also, please like us on those social media platforms, would you? But on Saturdays, tell us where you ran, how the weather was, and include a sweet, sweet photo. Go to HWYRT for information on the HWYRT second annual Crankle 2K in Millinocket, Maine.
I don't know what you're doing there with your voice, but I love it. So keep the cold. Don't ditch it. And also another plea, we've said it before, we say it again. Even if you don't use iTunes or Apple Podcasts to listen to us, but it's okay that you do. But even if you don't, still go to iTunes, look us up, give us a comment, give us a rating on iTunes. That seems to be the nexus of all power.
Help us.
Help us help you help us help you.
Help me, Peter.
So all you need, my friend, is a little Vicks Vapor Rub and some beef jerky, and you're going to be right as rain.
Do I need some totally random training thrown in there?
You need to listen to your body, and you need to do something about fat. What was it? Adaption?
Was it trans fat oils?
No, what was the term he used? Fat what?
Fat adapted athlete. Fat adapted diet. Fat adapted running.
Hey. That could be my book that then goes side by side with Amy Moritz's upcoming book.
So you thought you were a fat adapted athlete? I thought you were a fat adapted athlete.
I thought so too. I thought I was faster than that. I thought I could get there faster. I thought I could adapt that fat faster.
I thought my fat was adapted faster. I thought I could adapt my fat faster.
I thought we were going to get through this podcast faster.
Too topical?
Fine.
Peter, was this episode short enough for your mom?
No, she didn't even turn it on because honestly, she's too busy with the instruction manual for the Instant Pot that arrived last week. She's good.
Alexa, cook the rice and play How Was Your Run Today? Peter, nice beard.
Thank you, sir. You too.
Thank you.
We're both rocking really nice beards right now. Is that going to be the Millinocket beard for you? Are you clipping it around your lower lip? Do you do a thing?
Well, I do because otherwise it goes in my mouth.
No, the lower lip. God, you have a very natural line underneath your...
Yeah, I know. I have a... there's pirate blood in my family.
Arr, there is.